Zimbabwe's threats to kick out foreign-owned companies that don't toe the indigenization line have turned to assurances for some that no such thing will happen. President Robert Mugabe took many by surprise when he declared in his 2014 Independence Day speech that he would negotiate with companies bringing business to Zimbabwe and not impose on them the 51-49% stakeholder requirement. Finance Minister Patrick Chinamasa echoed the same assurances at a recent international conference in Harare, saying government would not take 51% of anyone's money, adding, "No one size fits all." At the same conference, Minister Chinamasa also called for an end to confrontation with the West, saying Zimbabwe is ready for new partnerships. Analysts are pondering the meaning of ZANU-PF's change of tone and position. Lecturer Tendai Chari of the University of Venda in South Africa says ZANU-PF is simply claiming its July election victory.
I wouldn't characterize it as change as such. Maybe as far as the indigenization policy and media policies and so forth, I would say perhaps it's a moderation of those policies, and we know that ZANU-PF won comprehensively on July 31st, 2013. And so perhaps ZANU-PF is feeling more comfortable in the driving seat in terms of consolidating its power base and so on.
With former Prime Minister Morgan Tsvangirai now out of the unity government and his party fractured by internal conflict that has potentially turned off Western supporters, Nkululeko Sibanda of Huddersfield University in the United Kingdom says ZANU-PF is capitalizing on the vacuum of political opposition.
ZANU-PF certainly believes that with Morgan Tsvangirai losing his position, there's a vacuum in terms of who the international community can relate to, and that they hope they can recapture the position they had before the advent of the MDC.
But political analyst Brilliant Mtlanga of Hertfordshire University in the United Kingdom sees this more as a reaction by ZANU-PF to a dose of reality.
Over the years, they have been pursuing the East policy, you know, the Look East policy. But it is known that those that they are dealing with in the East, China and India and, of course, others, are also dealing with the West. So they know for a fact that they also cannot rule out the West in terms of business dealing. So it's a strategy.
Whatever the motivation, analysts say ZANU-PF has little choice but to do something different given the state of the economy and the hardships citizens are subjected to. The challenge, however, remains winning over Western countries who for many years had pushed for regime change in the country and showed open support for the MDC. Media studies lecturer Tendai Chari says the West is paying close attention.
There's a correlation between the media agenda and the foreign policy agenda. I cannot say that they've quite dropped the regime change agenda, but they are studying the situation. They might embrace ZANU-PF completely, depending on how things pan out in the opposition, because quite clearly the Western world is I cannot say fed up with the MDC, but they are disappointed with the developments in the MDC.
Nkululeko Sibanda contends the West, while cautious, has little option but to work with ZANU-PF and President Mugabe.
It is a fact. I know, speaking to a few governments in Europe, Western governments believe that they still need to have some form of partnership with Zimbabwe, and that therefore, since Mugabe is still in power, they may have to find a working position.
Echoing this, Brilliant Mtlanga says, despite its apparent anti-ZANU-PF stance, the West has been engaging Harare and will likely do so more openly. He says the United States omission of Zimbabwe from the countries invited to meet with President Obama in August is inconsequential.
They are talking. We know that America is talking to Zimbabwe, and we know that Britain is talking to Zimbabwe. We know that other countries in the West are talking. Those are merely negotiating strategies in international relations. We should expect that to be happening. But don't be surprised that in the next other big event, Zimbabwe might be invited. And we have seen Zimbabwean ministers coming to Washington, so that shouldn't surprise us.
Aside from winning over the international community, analysts say ZANU-PF is also waking up to the reality that citizens are disgruntled and want to see ZANU-PF bring change. Again, Tendai Chari of the University of Venda in South Africa.
They tend to benefit a lot by polishing their image, and I think they are trying their relations with the media. The Minister of Information, I think, is trying to reach out to the media in a big way, which perhaps signals the government's intention to mend its relations with the media and also to polish its image, which has been in bad shape for quite some time.
Somewhat in agreement, Brilliant Mtlanga adds, ZANU-PF made election promises that it knows it needs to deliver on.
The indigenization policy, while it is a very good policy, it requires care because it really can upset a lot of things, for example, foreign direct investment, as already is happening. So ZANU knows all this, and they know that for them not to be punished by people in the next election when people would end up saying, you made promises which you didn't fulfill. They really have to change, and they know where it's actually binding, and they're trying to address that issue which is binding.
Nkululeko Sibanda warns it is folly to believe the Liberation Party has changed its stripes.
ZANU-PF has never believed in convincing the voter using soft methods, which would be what Western democracies do. In the interim, ZANU-PF does need an economy that is improving, and that with the MDC out of government completely, that they're able to maintain some level of sanity and the supermarkets and so forth. So I see this as certainly having nothing to do with the people of Zimbabwe, and I see ZANU-PF changing its position if need be towards any election.
It remains to be seen whether ZANU-PF's re-engagement and toning down of rhetoric will bring the much-needed foreign investment and pacify the millions failing to make ends meet. Reporting for Studio 7 from Washington, this is Ndimyake Mwakalielie.